We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And, y'all, we have some special guests this morning in the studio. What? Go God. Hallelujah. We have Sister Judy Gifford Parker and Nicholas Medina. Okay. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, located right here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. Even if it's a red Dodge, a Chrysler minivan, they can find you whatever you want. Just holler at them, y'all. And be sure to like, share, and comment done so we know that you're here. I think I covered it all, Nicholas. Would you be kind enough to pray for us before we start?
Father, we come to you, Father, as your children. Children bought by the blood of Jesus with authority, Father. And we come humbly to ask, Father, that your word will be spoken. And tonight, today, this morning, somebody's heart will open and they can receive it, Father, for freedom and a new life and realization of the new life that has been paid for them, God. We pray that your word is spoken today and that every heart out there is touched and every ear can be open to hear. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. I really like your title, Freedom. Who doesn't want freedom?
Who doesn't want freedom? And how many people are caught up in not realizing that they're free? Mm-hmm. Well, I have a word today from the Lord about freedom. Freedom for people who don't know that they have freedom. Freedom from people who have it but forgotten it and has let that flame die out. Maybe believers that are in bondage right now are being brought down by depression or shame or anything that has attached itself to them that has stolen the recognition of the freedom that has been paid by Christ. And to anyone who doesn't have Jesus, who is stuck in shame, who is stuck in pain, guilt, and a heavy conscience of their life and thinking that they never can be free from what has bonded them, today's word is freedom. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you'll be ripped away from the enemy. Ripped away from the grip on your life that he has. I want to remind us of almost the greatest scripture to me. All word is equal, but almost the greatest scripture to me is, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we may be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's see this. The righteousness of God. This isn't manly righteousness. This isn't righteousness by the law or by your actions. This is righteousness, a gift of God. Amen. His holy righteous. He paid for us to be holy. He paid for us to be complete, lacking nothing. And guys, the English root word for holy is whole. Let's not allow ourselves to be divided. When we're pulled away from shame, when we're pulled away of, oh, today I messed up. Oh, yesterday I messed up. You know, I probably made that person feel terrible today. When that guilt comes upon you, you better speak to it. Hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What does scripture tell me? As he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was. That would have been good enough. As he was, because as he was on the earth casting demons out, healing the sick, that's amazing. But as he is, and where is he? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. We are seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority has been given to Christ Jesus. He is the head of the body. And what are we? The body. Everything put under his feet, right? And if the body, to me, is above the feet. Amen. So everything that is against us is below our feet. He has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And in that, we can see that nothing can come against us. What does scripture tell us? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Formed against us, because we are now in the image of Christ. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. For anyone who, I'm going to go off on this. I see people, especially young people at this time. I see them, and everybody wants to put a persona on them that they haven't, they're not willing to look for freedom because of their outward lives. And the thing about this generation, this quote-unquote image of the generation, they want peace and freedom more than anyone. You can tell in their eyes when you speak life into these generation, when you speak life into somebody, hey, freedom was paid for. The shame that you have is not who you are. You're not a product of what you've done, of what you will do. You're not a product of your successes or your failures, because your successes only last as long as your success lasts. Amen. You are a paid, bought for child of God Almighty. You are a child, a son, a daughter of Jesus, a son and daughter of the Most High, the God of all things. You are now a child of him. You are paid for and bought for and anointed. I love Ephesians. Ephesians will go on to tell you everything that we have been given. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have been given as an adoptee. He said he predestined us to adoption before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh my goodness. How many times do y'all pray and guilt comes over you when you go in front of God? Oh God, all these things that I've been doing. Forgive me, forgive me. It's almost you're pleading. But scripture says he predestined us to be adopted that we can be holy and without blame. Mm. Forgive me, Lord. That's it. It's wiped clean. Step in front of the Father with confidence. I'm holy without blame, without a blemish on you. Hallelujah. Let's get a hold of that. Mm-hmm. The believers in bondage, believers in addiction, believers in suffering, new believers that come against the wiles of the enemy. We all know how that goes. Right when you step into Christ, the devil's like, yeah, right. You know who you are. You can go back to the word and say, hey, I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm not even the same. So let's take a hold of our identity in Christ and the freedom that comes with it.
Identity is a big
Hallelujah.
Because if you get messed up, if you get messed up in your identity, that's one of the things that the enemy really hits Christians with when you're going through a crisis moment. Mm-hmm. Usually it's not just normal every day, but when you've lost a loved one, mm-hmm. you've lost a child, you've lost a husband, you've lost some, it's almost like the rug's been pulled out from under you. And not only for women, but I've caught it being said in men too. It's almost like, particularly long-term relationships, mm-hmm. and they're like, who am I now? One person I heard say, well, God did this, so now I know he still has a plan for me. You're so one with that other person that is really hard for you to imagine your life mm-hmm. without that. And so that's when the enemy is not like any compassion, mm-hmm. any mercy. So he wants to hit you when you're down at the lowest spot, at the hardest place he can hit, because he really has an aim. He's not playing game. He intends to take you out. He intends to destroy you and anybody he can, because the Bible said he comes as a roaring lion seeking. He's seeking something. He's seeking whom he may devour. And I remember in times in my life, and particularly during the real strong moments and years, you know, went like 50 years and pretty good strength and standing and what have you spiritually. And not that I'm not now, but I've gone through a lot of things now. I've gone through different things now. But at times I'd say, no, devil, not here. You may be coming to devour, but you ain't doing it here. Oh, you just pack your bags and get out.
Amen.
And we have that authority in Jesus. And we forget that we have that authority. And then at times we just get discouraged, and sometimes we get tired. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it almost seems like things get blurred. And that's when you have to just say, my faith still holds unto the Christ of Calvary. This too shall pass. And I will hold on. And I'll do my best to hold on to my identity with him. My name may change, you know.
Come on.
Things may change in my life. People may go from my life. One of the things, we had a prophet at the link. And when you say have a prophet, I know that raises eyebrows. But this man is the most true blue prophet I've ever heard. Everything he said over everybody hit the mark, hit the nail on the head. He first prophesied to Pastor Brent down at the ocean because he was on vacation. He met a man that was parasailing and got to talking with him, tried to witness to him, and found out he was a deacon in Assembly of God Church. He said, come with us Sunday, because they always went to a different church when they were down there. And the pastor wasn't there, and there was this prophet was there. And he called Brent up. He only called two people up that morning, and one of them was Brent, and prophesied bingo. I mean, hit the mark head on Brent's life. And when Brent got home, the stuff he said to Brent started happening. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like so many people who said, this in 3 days this will be over, in 3 days that will happen. Well, he prophesied to him, and it started coming to pass instantly. And so he got on the phone with him and invited him to come. And everything he said, well, what he did is Aaron and I were sitting right on the second seat the first night on a Friday night. He didn't know us. He didn't know who we were. He had no clue. And he said, that couple right there, he told Brent, I have a word for them. And Brent didn't say a word to him. And later he said, why didn't you tell me that was your mother? Yeah. And he said, well, I didn't want anything to change, right, just because it was my mom. And he looked at us and assumed we were a long-term marriage. And we'd just been married 2 months, you know. But he called us up, and he said things to us corporately, like the Lord is proud of you both. And then he said, and you, sir. And he described things that had happened in Aaron's life, Aaron said, told me later, through 30 years of ministry. And one of the things he said to Aaron, he said, I see you sitting at a table with your hands folded and in prayer. And, sir, I want you to know that every prayer you have prayed has hit heaven. Amen. There's not one of them that has fallen to the ground. You know, and he just said, with me, he didn't speak right at that moment to anything exactly personally to me, but we had a chance to be with him. The prayer warriors had a chance to be with him that come to the regular prayer circle Sunday night, and he prayed for everyone individually. And when he came to me, he just said, we're going to plan birthdays, not a funeral. And just spoke to that. Ask everybody to put their hand toward me, pray for my organs, and to pray for me. So I've been looking up. I've noticed some weakness a little bit in my body, but each day I'm just saying the word. We work up listening to David Ingalls, and we slept. Nick's been praying for sleeping, and God has been helping me sleep. And 4 good nights of sleep, so thank God. And I just said this morning, the word is working mightily in me. No matter the circumstances, no matter what I feel or see, mm-hmm. God's word is working mightily in me. And I found out when I got here today talking to Nick, he specifically had been praying. And I heard Paula had told me, she's praying too, that we get to sleep at night. And we have actually got some really good sleep. So I covet your prayers to stand with me and believe God for a miracle, because mm-hmm. it's going to take one, but mm-hmm. that's okay. God's handing them out to those yeah. who can believe.
And he is in the miracle business.
Amen.
That is yeah. who he is.
Amen.
And that's what he loves to do. And, you know, talking about identity and it being bought and paid for. Mm-hmm. When I realize that my identity in Christ is being attacked, that's when I grabbed my Bible, my mm-hmm. most valued treasure. This mm-hmm. is my treasure. Here on earth, this is my treasure, yeah. the Word of God. And this Word of God is my receipt.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I am bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus.
Come on.
And I have a receipt, sucker. Yeah. And you will not
right.
torment me. Amen. You will not right. make me question who I am and Amen. Whose I am.
Right.
Amen.
I have a receipt.
Amen. Amen.
You got kicked out
he
of heaven.
Right here. And you're going to hell.
And you mm-hmm. have a place waiting for you.
Yeah.
And I will not be there.
That's right.
Amen. My grandpa will always says, be there either. He says, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind mm-hmm. him of his future. Yes.
And you know, I've seen just this week, I was spending time with the Lord. Uh-huh. And I have been going through a season of just, I'm going to be really real right now. I have been going through a season of considering quitting everything. Mm-hmm. Just being tired. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm ready just to lay down. I'm ready to be home. I'm just ready to be home. And in that season, I'm reminded I'm here for a reason. And my season mm. isn't over.
No.
You got to finish your purpose.
That is a direct attack of the enemy.
Right.
And the Lord showed me like a toddler who was told no, throws his arms out and begins to run through the house. Knocking anything and everything off. Mm-hmm. And that's what the enemy, and that's what I seen the enemy throwing a fit. Mm-hmm. Because he is losing ground in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, he is losing ground and he don't like it. And you know what? Too bad, sucker.
Too bad. In Elk City and all over the world.
We are standing. Yes. And more of us is going to stand. And we will not move.
Mm. Amen.
After you've done all you can do, stand.
Stand.
If that's all you can do, if you can't do anything but stand there and say, Jesus, 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 that's enough.
Girl, I've been in that season where I've just had to stand. Amen. You know? And it's like, and whenever I go into prayer, to surrender, you know, Lord, this is how I feel. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel, Father. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it. Help me. Help
right.
me.
Right.
That's what he wants.
And when I stand, it's like I can feel almost like a magnet at the bottom of my feet holding me to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that is God holding my feet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Planning me. Mm-hmm. I'm planted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planted.
Mm, I love that. It says, even though the righteous may trip, they will not fall mm-hmm. because he holds them by the hand.
Yes.
And just to dive back into this, when in scripture right here, I was reading last night, it says how he's talking about how Paul, after he tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, he goes on to say right here that I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is actually in verse 7, where he's going on to talk about in all things that he is going to commend himself as a minister of God. He goes on to say, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That means, for me, the Holy Spirit speaks, put on the righteousness I've given you, not only in your right hand of authority, but on your left hand. So both sides, you'll be protected by the identity yes. paid for you. You have been paid for. You have been made righteous. Don't let shame come in. Don't let weakness come in. Don't let burdens come into your life. And like you said, everybody goes through that, Mom. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. We all go through that. Mm-hmm. I was just going through that these past couple of days. Mm-hmm. A feeling. But you don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, trust your feelings.
Yeah. They're fickle.
It actually says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Mm-hmm. So do not trust in your feelings. We all have them. Yesterday I was feeling so useless. Mm. And then I get a call and things happen. And the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. Even when you don't feel useful, I'm going to use you. Amen. Because it is already predestined. Mm-hmm. Our feelings will lead us astray. Our mind will lead us astray. Circumstances will lead us astray. A great saying that I love is, don't look outward and be stressed. Mm-hmm. Don't look inward and be depressed. Look at God and be at rest.
Come on.
Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on the cross, because Christ died, was brutally, brutally tortured, and put onto that cross and died so that we could live. Mm-hmm. It says, while you were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? Mm-hmm. We're dead. But now that Christ is dead, and once we accept that, his death created life in us. And it says that we were also made alive, but also seated at the right hand of the Father and raised up. So we're not only alive for you, and all the people listening and me. We're not only alive, we're raised up together with Jesus. We are set on a new platform. So when our earthly mind tells us our feelings, or the outward starts to stress us, or the inward starts to depress us, let's remember the cross. Let's remember he suffered so we don't have to suffer. Mm-hmm. Let's remember he was tortured so we don't have to be tortured. And when they come, we just give it over to Christ. Cast your cares upon me, mm-hmm. for I care for you. How much does that mean to y'all? I mean, I don't ask people that enough. To cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And I picture Christ carrying the cross, mm-hmm. and the cross being every burden in our life. Being all the heaviness, the sleepless nights, the cancer, the pain, the sicknesses, the stresses, the depression, the mourning, the sorrowfulness, all on that cross while he carried it. And we just throw it on him. And to us, more weight would make us hurt, right? But more weight on him glorifies him even more. Let's glorify God by giving him our pain. Let's glorify God by putting our sorrows in his hand. Let's give it over to him. I love that, and I love that. And I want to say this really quickly to anyone, and I'm going to speak to us in this room, but to anyone who's listening, to anyone who hears this, the Holy Spirit keeps telling me to say this. Anybody who hears this that has not accepted Jesus and that is suffering in their darkness and is suffering in the guilt and shame of the things that they keep falling victim to, the addictions that they do not want, the suffering, and I'm not going to go into them because I'm not going to glorify the enemy, but the suffering that you're going through, there is freedom. There is freedom in Jesus. Hand over the problems, hand it over, put on the cloak of righteousness, walk clean, walk holy, walk without blame, take that upon your life and move forward. Paul says, I forget the things of my past and I reach forward to the future. He doesn't say I think or I dwell or I'll do anything. He says I forget your past, accept righteousness, accept salvation, and move forward as he is. So are we in this world. There's freedom in this world, ladies and gentlemen. There's freedom now from addiction. There's freedom now from bondage. And real quickly, if there's any Christian believer who has been in Christ for maybe 10 years, maybe 7 years, maybe 50 years, maybe 2 or 3, and are suffering and feel like the fire's not there, you better stoke that flame up. You better do whatever you can and come, because God has never left you. I heard the other day, as I call out your name, you're already hovering above me. He's already with you. Grab a hold of it, seek his face, and move forward in your righteousness. Get out and declare the word of God. Declare over your life the freedom that the scripture tells you to have.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Speaking of cloaks, mm-hmm. one of my favorite passages is, and I've got it written right here the first one is 1 Kings 19:19-21. Where he's in the field doing what he does. Mm-hmm. Plowing. Mm-hmm. He's just plowing out in the field. Working the field. His family's field. And then here comes this old guy coming up.
Hallelujah.
And says, yeah. And while he's out there just plowing a field, doing what he does. He got a cloak put on him. And when that cloak got on him, he got a glimpse.
Hallelujah.
God gave him a glimpse. And then fast forward to 2 Kings 2, 1 through 18. As they go across the Jordan. And he's taken up. And he sees it. Elijah and Elijah. Mm-hmm. Is who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. When he sees him being taken up. And that cloak falls to the ground. There's a choice to be made. Mm-hmm. And there's a choice to be made today. Make up your mind.
Amen.
Throw your cloak off and pick up the cloak of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because the cloak of Christ is going to cover you in righteousness. That's your righteousness in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then when God looks at you, he doesn't see you in your mistakes. He sees his child.
His child. Pure.
Righteous before him. Mm-hmm. In his sight.
Hallelujah.
Because we made the choice to pick up the cloak, throw off our cloak. It works if you work it.
Hallelujah.
Pick it up.
Our cloak is heaviness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our cloak is too heavy to carry. Mm-hmm. And even as Christians sometimes, we'll kind of try to start walking in our own strength and our own cloak. And again, we go back to the altar. We go back to the Lord, be it in our car or bedroom or wherever, or at church. And we just say, Lord, take it. Fill me with your righteousness. And that prayer, there's nothing. Prayer breaks through to God. Mm-hmm. And that is so important that we, whoever we are, sometimes we won't come because we feel like we're not worthy. But just push back that. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Jesus gave us an invitation. He said, come boldly before my throne of grace, that ye may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And every one of us have special times of need. And that's when we do just come boldly. Push everything else aside. Push every lie. The devil will tell you you're not worthy. He'll tell you God's not going to listen to you. Look what you've done. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And even as Christians, he'll try to lie to you to keep you from praying. He'll try to busy you to keep you from praying. But make that time where you just stop and you say, you know what? I'm calling out to you. You're my only help. You're my only hope. Nobody else can do it for me. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I'm one pretty much that reaches for people because I've been raised in church and had a mama, had a daddy, had a husband, and friends in church. And I would always reach out to someone, pray with me. Because I know the Bible says where two agree on earth is touching anything, it will be done. But there are times we don't have nobody. And we just got to go and realize Jesus is with us. Mm-hmm. And he will hear. And he will answer. One time, Lonnie DeSalvo's grandmother passed away. And he said, now who's going to pray for me? Now who's going to pray for me? And it's like the Lord says, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'll pray for you. You know, yes. So, and there's times that I've just said, Jesus, pray for me. Pray for me to the Father. Pray for me, Jesus, to the Father. But we know he does. Every time we call to him, he prays to the Father. And the Father hears because Jesus is asking.
Amen.
I love that.
Our Bible is not just our receipt. This is what the Holy Spirit just told me when you were speaking. That Bible that you treasure, daughter, it's not just your receipt. That's your invitation.
It's your invitation.
Come on.
So, when you don't feel like you're enough, mm-hmm. when you don't feel that you can, you pick up your treasure, you pick up your receipt, and you pick up your invitation.
Hallelujah.
And you knock the devil on the head with it.
Amen.
And get him out.
Amen. And that is a standing invitation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
There's no expiration on it.
He is. People can wait too late because they don't live long enough to get it, or their heart changes or something. But, and today is a day of salvation. But God doesn't revoke that. It's for now, all time and eternity. you know, that mm-hmm. until he comes back. That invitation is open to all who will come and receive. Whosoever will, the Bible says.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what your color is, what your status is, mm-hmm. how much money you have, whatever. My husband prayed with a gentleman when he was a young man that they called, the hospital called him down and said, his name was Shorty, is all we knew, and he would always stand at the grocery store with his foot back on the building, and that's where I would see him, standing outside the grocery store. They called Thilbert down to pray with him, and Thilbert tried to talk to him about giving his heart to Jesus and say, but I don't have any money. But I don't have any money.
Doesn't it feel like that sometimes?
Uh-huh.
I don't have enough.
Uh-huh. And then Thilbert kept talking to him. He'd say, but I'm just too sick to talk right now. Mm-hmm. When he left, that was the last he got out of that man, is I'm too sick to talk right now. So the enemy will fight to the very last. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You just have to keep reaching for that soul and push past the excuses, because there'll always be, I believe, there'll always be a block to you getting to Jesus. Uh-huh. If you're sitting in a church service and the invitation is being given to come, there'll be 5 or 6 reasons come in your mind why you shouldn't go forward. You know, for me, one time the Lord was calling me to a fresh dedication when I was like in my early 20s, and I had a child's commitment to the Lord, but he wanted an adult commitment. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in a child's. You have a lot more things to lay as an adult before and I hadn't laid those things yet. I hadn't laid my husband. I hadn't laid my child before the Lord. So God was calling me that. But here's the invitation was for salvation. So I was going, I was a pastor's wife at the time. And I'm like, my mother-in-law's here. That was the big thing. My mother-in-law's here. But the man had actually gotten up and opened the obituaries. And my friend had just died. And I was there was just this unsettledness in my heart. Would I go to heaven if I died? And so finally I just stepped out and I went to the altar and I poured my heart out to the Lord in a deeper way than I'd ever done before, laying my husband and my children on the cross, on the altar for the Lord. And I got up with the sweetest peace, sweetest, mm-hmm. deepest peace I'd ever known as an adult. Yeah. And later I mentioned to my mother-in-law about going to the altar, and she said, oh, you did? I didn't see you. And see, that very thing the enemy's trying to use to keep me wasn't anything. It was a lie. That he's trying to keep me. So whatever the hindrances are, and there'll always be hindrances. You can count on it. Mm-hmm. But just go, you're a liar. You're not keeping me from my victory. You're not going to steal my invitation. Amen. You're not stealing my joy. You're not stealing my future. You're not stealing my hope and things that God's going to do in my life. I'm not letting you steal it, because the devil comes to steal. The Bible says for one reason, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10, is it 10:10, said, but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
And so what you have.
10:10 came to give us life
unto
the full.
Okay. And there's another one then that says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. So what has the devil done in your life? Has he killed anything? Has he stolen anything? Jesus says, I come to give you life, but I come to give you life and that more abundantly. So it's going to be wonderful. The things, you're going to love it. I tell people sometimes God's got a call on your life, and if you will follow that, you're going to love it. Because he never asks you to do something you're going to hate. Because what you've done, in Psalms 37, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Which means you have sought him, and he's purified your desires, and he's put your desires in, his desires in your heart. Mm-hmm. And then when you're seeking him for your desires, he goes, well, that's what I want him for. Y'all along, baby. Mm-hmm. And he gives you. And missionaries who go to the mission field, they're delighted. They're excited. You know, they're people. And you think, go to Africa? Go to India? Right. I would never do that. And the missionary is so in his heart, he can't wait. Mm-hmm. And one missionary, they said, if you go into that area, you will not return. And he said, you know, I don't see anywhere in the Bible it talks about returning.
Hallelujah.
I just see it says go. And he went. And he gave his life. His life was taken. And his body was thrown in the river. But what they found out later was there was some kind of laws or customs with those tribes. If a man has spilled his blood somehow they're in the blood, then they have to listen to his message. And through that, there became tribes that would listen to the message that this man preached. And so more souls were saved through that. So what kind of reward is he going to have? What kind of joy and awesome things happening now? Here's what one missionary said who gave his life. He wound up with the five missionaries that gave their life in Ecuador. If anybody